The second failure is that repeatedly the intelligence community has not provided big-picture strategic intelligence. The late Pat Moynihan would recite, to anyone who would listen, his troubled observation that while the U.S. intelligence services had provided us with information on how many telephones there were in the Kremlin and how many sailors manned the latest class of Soviet ship, they had not been able to figure out that the Soviet Union was on the verge of collapse. Up until the end, U.S. intelligence estimated that the Soviets had an economy capable of supporting a military competitive with ours, and that the Soviets were continuing to invest in cutting-edge research that matched our scientific, military, and space advances. Little of that turned out to be true, and the Soviet Union would soon cease to exist. Consider the consequences of a failure to focus on the world threat through a telescope rather than a microscope. In the summer of 2001, intelligence reported to U.S. decision-makers that, yes, Al-Qaeda was an increasing threat to U.S. interests, but outside the United States, not in our homeland. As a result, we continued to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to fortify our embassies abroad, but did virtually nothing to increase the safety of our domestic commercial aviation. Consider further the fact that, as the planning for the war in Iraq was intensifying in the winter and spring of 2003, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz reached two conclusions. These conclusions were validated by false and antiquated intelligence, vouched for by the Rumsfeld-established intelligence agencies within the Department of Defense. These agencies claimed that U.S. troops would be warmly received as liberators, as were the American troops in Paris in 1944, and that the Iraqis would turn on the faucet to the nation's oil riches and pay for the occupation and rebuilding of their nation. Of course, neither of those projections came true. Iraq is looking